Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right back to your phones, as promised. More on the fake cycle. John in Fall River. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How are you? First time, long time. Just wanted to say, look, for all of, you know, I know Brock Holt's a pink hat, just like Daniel Nava was a pink hat, just like the original pink hat that was Jason Varitek with his 24% career thrown out. But what I love about the fake cycle, fake though it was, is that it was the only one in postseason history, and it came against the Yankees. For all of their postseason success that they love to throw in everybody's face and all the BS that they give us all the time, we had it against them with our scrub, with our pink hat, foray, backup, whatever you want to call him. And I just think that that's beautiful, and no amount of Tony's reticence for that makes me, you know, it
John,
just makes me happy.
Do you think that really just, do you think that hurts a Yankee fan? Like, does that leave a dent in a Yankee fan's psyche?
Oh, absolutely. Those guys are soft.
It does? No.
I bet it annoys them.
Generic Yankee fan, do you think he cares that Brock Holt had a fake cycle against your backup catcher last night?
No, to me, the 16-1 is what hurts.
16-1 would be embarrassing.
All of it, but that's part of it. I mean, he is right. These are the people that are always quick to throw, you know, Babe Ruth, 3 home runs, 26 World Series. How about
26 World Series and cycles? You're going to talk about in the same breath? Fake cycles?
Reggie Jackson, 77 World Series,
3 home runs. That he won the World Series
game. I know those are bigger, but
I think it's 27, but go ahead.
Either way, this is something to annoy them with.
Cycle?
Yeah, it's just
a
part
cycle.
Of the 16-1 loss.
A cycle from a backup player.
Fake cycle.
0.0. A fake cycle from a backup player against a reserve catcher in a 16-1 blowout.
Yeah, but Brock Holt's like a joke player.
0.0. If I'm a Yankee fan, does that upset me? 0.01%? No. 0.0. Zero.
So to me, the thing I would look at if I were a Red Sox fan, I'd say, so let me get this straight. Worst defeat in postseason history by a Yankees team against the Red Sox in New York, and worst collapse in postseason history, 3-0 2004 Yankees against the Red Sox.
Oh, my God. Next
that,
to that?
That I would celebrate.
What's the cycle?
Brock Holt?
Just a little more dirt in the eye is all.
Brock, I like David Ortiz's jersey being buried in the foundation of Yankee Stadium better than I like Brock Holt's cycle.
Scott, go quickly.
Yes, I couldn't care less about hitting for a cycle in a baseball game, but Felger, don't call it a fake cycle, okay?
Fake.
He smashed a triple down the line to break the game wide open.
It's fake cycle.
Then he hit
fake.
A home run. I don't care who.
It has an asterisk next to it, Scott.
No, it doesn't.
It does. It's on the whiteboard.
Major League Baseball, Felger.
It's on the whiteboard.
Major League Baseball, not high school baseball.
Once that asterisk goes up on the whiteboard, it doesn't come down. I've only seen it come down once.
Right.
Even that was
that was unprecedented.
That was unprecedented and still controversial. That you said the Red Sox had a fake 89 wins or whatever it was at the time, and then you took the asterisk off. I'm like,
well, they swept the Yankees in the beginning of August.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that's what had the asterisk come down.
Okay, so those were actual wins, yep. And losses, not fake cycles against reserve catchers.
He hit the home run off a backup catcher at Yankee Stadium, which is like 250 feet down the line. It doesn't count. It doesn't count.
And even if it did? We don't care about cycles. So even if it did count, you can kiss my ass with the cycle.
Well, that's a $3 bill cycle right there. That's what that is. Fake.
Dave in Tennessee, go. Hello, David. Okay, not there. Who do we got next? How about Billy in Rhode Island? Your thoughts on the Yankees last night, Billy?
How you doing, Felger?
Good.
Just give me 1 minute, if you would.
Okay, babe.
I understand about the cycle and all that stuff. I'll be honest, I'm a Red Sox fan. It doesn't turn me on that much.
That a boy.
Secondly, is I think we got to really zero in on the 16-1. The Yankees got 9 guys in the batting order that have 20 home runs or more. 9 guys. We've been talking about Stanton and all these players that hit the bomb 498 feet, but I'm going to tell you something. They can't hit back-to-back-to-back-to-back like the Red Sox. They can't do it.
Well, Billy, look,
and I really believe against a good pitcher, they're in big trouble because they can't keep hitting home runs. That's my point. And I think it's way overrated to say that the Yankees are what they used to be. They're a team that can hit home runs against average pitchers, but when they hit against good pitchers, they're nothing.
Okay, fair enough. I think there's a lot of bad ball hitters on that team. Stanton's the most glaring of it.
No question.
Okay, And you want to say they're just home runs and one trick pony? True. But you're, the rightest thing you said, Billy, is if you want to be embarrassed, if you're a Yankee fan, Brock Holt, you know, hitting on baseball bingo is nothing to be embarrassed of. It means nothing. You want to be embarrassed? With that lineup and that bullpen, you lost 16-1 at home. How's that possible? With that bullpen and the amount of power you have in your lineup, you lost 16-1.
Yeah, inexcusable. And again, it's one game.
That's embarrassing.
It is totally embarrassing. And again, the man just gets back to the manager in the fourth inning. If you put the cork in it, let's say the game even gets to 5-0.
Oh, with the Sox bullpen, you're still in it.
And that lineup in Yankee Stadium?
You bet.
Shooting the ball into the right field seats the way they did when Price pitched here the last time? That game's not over. Not by a long shot. I mean, that thing was humiliating the way the Yankees tried to do it last night. To get their asses kicked the way they did on their home field. With the chance to take control of the series. Oh, humiliating to lose like that.
Steve in Providence. Go ahead, Steve. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to give some credit to Mr. Eovaldi. I mean, he pitched a good game. It's easy to pitch when you're up that, you know, that many runs, but you still got to give him credit. And he kind of gave Porcello the blueprint to tonight on how to keep them at bay. And real quick, I want to touch on Severino, if that's all right.
So, but what's the blueprint to keep them at bay that Eovaldi showed last night?
Just where his pitch location was, how to start them off with certain pitches, and then work off that type of pitch.
Well, I mean, that just sounds like all cliches.
No, if nothing else, yeah, throw strikes. He's like the beacon of what every other pitcher in that bullpen and the rotation outside of Chris Sale should look at. For that start last night, throw strikes. Go at them. Don't nibble. That's what Eovaldi was so good at last
night. See, I just don't think Porcello can do it the way Eovaldi does it because he doesn't throw hard enough. So that to me, now you want to talk about the approach.
Can Porcello attack the strike zone throwing 91 or whatever he throws?
So he's going to have to set it up. Right? I mean, you're going to have to like go in and out, up and down, off speed, and then make your fastball faster by throwing off speed and then coming up in the zone at 93, 94, whatever. Like, that's how he's going to have to do it. You know, if you say tactically, Eovaldi threw with velocity up in the zone, yeah, sure. I think that's the blueprint to beat that Yankee lineup. Yes. Can Porcello do it the same way? No, because he doesn't have the same stuff. But, he'll have to have some adaptation to that. I mean, to me, that's what... And Porcello said it in his comment, you got to attack them, and he's right.
But when Porcello leaves pitches up, he gives up home runs.
Correct, which is why it's got to be 94, has to look like 98. You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, if you throw off speed and all of a sudden you slow them down, maybe you get 94 by him up in the zone.
Okay, let's grab... I'll jump this guy because I was expecting to hear from Alan in Florida yesterday, and I guess he wasn't able to get through yesterday.
That's peculiar.
But he's calling today after the Sox win by... That's sort of interesting. So do you think Alan doesn't like to call when he's feeling the pressure, but then after a win he likes to call and shake his ass at people?
You don't say.
Do you think that's what that is?
I would say fake cycle, fake fan.
Yeah. Hey, Alan, did you have a hard time getting through yesterday, or what? You just had a weird schedule?
I happen to have been out of town, and you know,
I see ya. You couldn't get through yesterday. I get it,
and I will. I'm telling you, only you and Maz and Murray could call one of the great wins in the history of the Red Sox when everyone in the world thought they were down and out. And this is fake. I'll tell you what's fake, Felga.
The cycle was fake.
Yeah, the win's not fake. The cycle's fake.
No, great win. No. Yeah, we just spent 5 minutes on how good the win is. What I think is fake is your bona fides as a sports radio caller. Why don't you call when the going gets tough,
Alan? I'll call.
Why do you wait for the 15-run win to call? Where were you yesterday, pal?
Yeah.
I mean, what am I here to glue to the TV every day? I happen to have had things to do yesterday.
You should be 2 to 6 every day.
Right?
Yes, 2 to 6 every day. You should be glued.
I'm glued. I'm telling you, it's fake. It's the Milwaukee Brew. Wait till the Dodgers get a hold of that fake team with the great bullpen. You're so worried about bullpens, all you guys. Let's see what the Dodgers do to the fake Milwaukee Brewers with the cheese things on their noodles.
Now that hurts. I mean, that hurts.
Yeah, this is a great win for the Red Sox. And the worst comes to worst, I hope they win tonight. But I'll take my shot with Sale on a nice day, 4 days, 5 days rest in a fifth game. This is a great win, and anything that's saying fake is ludicrous today. Ludicrous. Brock Holt should have stopped at third base and not hit the home run. So, you know, he wouldn't have gotten the cycle. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you weren't listening. No, you were listening. You're just bastardizing what we said to fit your agenda, which is fine, Alan.
I think Holt should have bunted.
I want to hear you tomorrow if they lose, Alan. That's all I want. I want you to call in good times and bad. and sort of grind it out with the rest of us. That's what I'm asking you.
It was a huge win for them last night. Huge.
They should feel great.
Huge.
Even if they don't get done tonight, you got Sale on full rest coming home at Fenway Park, Game 5. You should feel good. You've done your job. You really should. And that's why when we said tonight, Maz, you know, how much do you empty the bucket? And what I mean by that is, you know, who do you go to and when, in what situation to make sure you get it tonight? I don't know about that.
So the other variable I have here is you got a day off. I'm not using Sale tonight. So forget that. Like, we had a caller earlier who said, you know, if you get a lead, you put Sale in the middle innings and get a couple innings out of him. No. You don't jeopardize Game 5. No way. Not in a million years. But you've got a day off tomorrow. You've got 2 days to rest everybody. If there's an opportunity to win that game, you go win it. And if that means you've got to stretch Kimbrel a little. Now, I don't know what they deem the max for Kimbrel. I don't think they'll go two innings with Kimbrel. But five outs, I think they might do that.
Okay. A lot of embarrassing performances last night. Not the least of which was Brock Holt after the game. Roy Hobbs there with his fake cycle. Embarrassing. But not nearly as embarrassing as, oh, Aaron Boone or Luis Severino. Or we'll get to this guy next. The biggest embarrassment from last night. Maybe second biggest. I don't know. It's up there. We'll get to Angel Hernandez right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pedro Martinez jinxed it, saying it would be a pitcher's duel.
Well, I expected that. At least on one side, I got it. On the other side, well, I was wrong. I'm 50-50.
And that's better than Angel Hernandez.
Oh, Angel is horrible. Don't get me going on Angel now. Major League Baseball needs to do something about Angel.
Well, we didn't know.
It doesn't matter how many times he sues the Major League Baseball.
He's going to sue you.
He's, it doesn't matter.
No, that's coming.
He's as bad as there is. That's the main reason why we're sitting here so late.
All right, Angel Hernandez.
Train wreck.
So, you can already sense my hesitancy because I'm anti-replay. And I think on balance, some of those replays are unfair. That you can't be expected to get those right, some of those. You know, he was also overturned in Game 2 with that play at second base that benefited the Red Sox that I thought was the wrong call. He had that overturned as well where... Now, it's all mushing together. I can't remember whose foot came off the bag.
Kinsler's
foot came off the bag, but they determined on replay that it was on there. And so instead of bases loaded, it was first and third. Didn't matter. Sanchez hit the home run, but that was the sequence there. And they overturned it. That was Angel Hernandez at second. I'm like, how'd they do that? And then there were a couple last night. So he was reviewed four times at first base. Four. Three of which were overturned. And there were a couple where I'm sorry. It's like, bang, bang. How do you possibly get that right? And I still think that it's a little messed up because you're really splitting hairs on when the ball's technically in the glove. I mean, I guess they did define it as soon as it touches leather. But you still can't really tell.
Correct.
You know, and there was one of them where it was trapped. And again, they're all mushing together. So I'm forgetting who was running and who was at in field. And so, but, you know, we all saw it. But there was one that was trapped where the first baseman's glove was sort of over the ball. And you couldn't tell when it hit leather. And it's like, I don't even think those should be reviewed, frankly. But that being said, he only got one of the four right. And so just your thoughts on Angel Hernandez.
So look, I just think the whole thing now, there's a huge backstory with him that obviously involves a lawsuit because he felt like he was deprived of opportunities to umpire in the postseason.
So let me just set what Maz is talking about. Angel Hernandez has sued Major League Baseball. And I don't know if it were the umpires or Major League Baseball itself, but he sued because he felt he wasn't being promoted properly, wasn't being made crew chief, and wasn't getting some postseason assignments. So he sued them a couple of years ago. I don't know where that lawsuit stands.
Me neither.
And the lawsuit either stated or didn't state it was implied some racial bias.
Correct. That because he's Hispanic, they didn't promote him.
Okay. So there's that part of Angel Hernandez's story. Also, this happened a couple of years ago, and this plays into the lineup tonight that I'm interested in seeing. And that is Ian Kinsler. And I started going back and YouTubing some of this stuff because he was actually in the middle of a Brewers thing this year, too, where he just absolutely completely blew a strike three call. And they all went nuts there in Milwaukee. And I remembered that. So I went back and watched it, and then I watched some other stuff.
Yeah, because this guy's consistently voted by players as one of the worst umps in the game. Oh, him, West, and C.B. Buckner. We shouldn't know these guys' names, but we do because they constantly crowbar themselves into the games and make it about them.
But West is actually a good umpire. Or I think he's decent. Like, I mean, I don't think he's a train wreck like this guy is. But anyway, so in addition to suing Major League Baseball, he had a back and forth with Ian Kinsler in 2017. It was actually hysterical. Where on strike one, it was low, and Kinsler, you know, sort of leaned back and talked to him, and they had a little conversation. And then ball two was like a foot and a half low and outside, and Kinsler turned to Hernandez, and you know Kinsler said,
well, yeah, exactly. What, you want to call that one a strike two?
All right, so that was a ball? And Hernandez immediately chucked him. Kinsler just, you see what he said? But you know, he just turned and said, is that one strike two? And Hernandez ran him. And then after the game, Kinsler said that Hernandez is a bad umpire who is, quote, messing with baseball games blatantly, adding, he needs to find another job. He really does. Baseball fined Kinsler. They did not suspend him. And in response, and I remember this now, umpires wore bands, white and black bands, around their uniforms, white, because you couldn't see the black on their jerseys. White bands.
This was the Ump Lives Matter type thing.
In solidarity for Angel Hernandez and his incompetence. So that's the backstory on Hernandez. I'm sorry, go.
So look, there are all kinds of variables now. The players hate him, the managers hate him, the coaches hate him. And so it feels like they'll use any opportunity they can to go to a review on him because they think he sucks as an umpire. Yet MLB put him in the postseason, and I think he sucks as an umpire. Okay, but I also think there's the variable of, did MLB put him in the postseason because he sued him in the past and now they got to be careful? Like the whole thing, the squeaky wheel thing with this guy, right? You got to just totally grease him. That thing, the scary part for you as a Red Sox fan tonight, he's behind the plate tonight.
And you can't review balls and strikes.
He's behind the plate tonight. This guy should not be on the field in the postseason. Pedro's right. Pedro Martinez is right, and I give him all the credit in the world for actually chiming up and speaking up about it. But this guy should not be in the postseason. You can't have a guy with that kind of baggage in the postseason.
So I said a couple of them last night were bang, bang, you know, hard to really get on him. So that's just in anyone's defense when it comes to replay. When you miss three of the four of them, I feel like there's a trend. And by the end, he was just guessing. By the end, he was just guessing because the last one, I think, was the Gregorius fielder's choice. He originally called a double play. He was safe by half a foot.
It wasn't even close, yeah.
There's numbers to back this up. This Sports Info, or it's ESPN Stats and Info, one of the guys that works for them, tweeted this out last night. Over the last three regular seasons, an Angel Hernandez call as first base umpire went to replay review 18 times. The call was overturned 14 times. That's 78% of the time. Now, the overturn rate during that time is 60%, so it's not massively above the norm, but he is above it. 18 times, it was overturned 14, you suck at your job.
I mean, no, that's
brutal. You're guessing. Like you said, you don't know what the hell's going on.
And Maz is right. So whether you think he even got it right, replay it, because he probably didn't, which maybe explains that play at second base, you know, in game two. But by the end last night, by the Gregorius fielder's choice, he was flat out guessing because that wasn't close. That was the last one. Was embarrassing to him. Embarrassing.
I mean, he feels like the kind of guy to me that gets caught up in the play. So in other words, there's a great defensive play in the middle of the diamond, and there's a pivot, and it's closest to whether it's going to be a double play, and because the first part of the play was great, yeah, he rings the guy up.
Enrico Palazzo.
Yeah, and then you look it up, and you realize, no, he wasn't actually out. He was safe by a step and a half. It wasn't even close. But he does. I think he gets swept up in it.
He sucks.
He does. He's brutal. And to me, the fact that it is now at a spot where it feels like baseball's got to accommodate him and be careful with him, treat him with kid gloves, and you have this guy, Red Sox Yankees, game four, elimination game in New York behind the plate.
Scary.
Terrifying.
Mike and Wilburn on Angel Hernandez. Hi, Mike.
Well, Mike, just before I get to Angel, I want to swing back to the fake cycle because I got another one for you if you're doing this, okay?
Go ahead.
Tony, this is for you, fake cycle.
Good.
Angel Hernandez, let me ask you this, Mike. Grandpa gets into three car accidents in one day. Okay? Grandpa gets into three car accidents one day. Do you take the keys away from him, or
yes,
do you let him drive a school bus the next day?
No. You take the keys.
Yeah, exactly. They're putting this guy behind the plate tonight. Behind the plate, okay? If it goes to five, they can put him at third base because he's going to blow a call tonight, and then at third base, he'll have the cycle of suck when he blows a call over there. Okay? All right? This guy is. This is why I don't forgive. What's his name? The guy, the commissioner, freaking douchebag for not replacing all these guys with robots when he had them all resign in 1999. In 1999, all these doofuses resigned. Joe West resigned. They hired him back. Freaking, they should be buried. They should all be buried. We should have MIT at every base. There's a sensor in the glove. There's a sensor on the bag. Whichever one hits first, you're out. You're safe. We know what the ball and the strike when the things come through the plate. Why are we paying these overpriced freaking, like, saleable divas to do this?
Oh, Mike, well, it's so apparent last night. And I, you know, this has been a longstanding thing of mine, too. And because of the union and jobs and whatever they worked out, they put two extra bozos out there down the left and right field lines. And I'm telling you, I've argued with Maz about this. The number of border plays that they still screw up is staggering. When a guy, when the fatso's just standing out there in right field and all he's supposed to do is judge fair foul or did the outfielder trap the ball. And they still get it wrong all the time. They put two extra bozos out there and they still don't get it right. And anything that's close is going to replay anyway. So really, what are you paying those guys for?
Good question.
I mean, behind the plate, but anything else?
Yeah, since replay to me really and effectively has eliminated the outfield line umpire, left and right field. I mean, it's those two spots. It's eliminated. You don't need it anymore because you needed them years ago when you didn't have replay. Now you've got it.
Right. Trap plays or border plays. That's it.
Exactly right. You don't need those guys anymore. And years ago, remember, they used to be responsible. They still are for the home run calls.
Yeah.
And they screwed those up too.
Absolutely. But just watch. Today's the anniversary of the mayor play, I think.
Oh, is it?
In New York.
Okay, sure.
Someone, was that in one of our emails today? I don't know. Someone said that. It was the
Jeffrey Mayer play.
Jeffrey Mayer, yeah.
Yeah, with Tony Tarasco in right field for the Orioles.
Yeah, and Garcia, the umpire, was right out there.
Yeah, Andy Garcia was. He was in right field. Not Andy Garcia. Forget it. Go.
Whatever. And they still get it wrong. Angel Hernandez.
Andy Garcia.
You got to be kidding me.
It's Richie Garcia.
He made some movies. Matt in Providence, go.
Hey, guys. So my understanding of the court case, he filed it 2 years ago for racial discrimination and job bias in a small town in Ohio. He won the case. Baseball appealed it. They won the appeal, meaning they can have the court case go again. They have now, last month, moved the case from Ohio to New York, and the end of the year is when the trial is going to go, the appeal is going to happen again.
Okay. Counselor, thank you for that update. All I know is he sued Major League Baseball. I don't know where it stands. And I do know he blows.
Oh, God, he's horrendous. And like, the part that really is alarming is that now he's behind the plate for Game 4. Elimination game at Yankee Stadium.
And just so people know, it's predetermined. They do a cycle around the diamond. You're at second one night, you're at first the next, then you're at home, then you're at third.
Right.
And I don't know about the two bozos out in left and right field with their thumb up their asses.
So it goes right, left, third, second, first, home. That's typically how you move.
I'll try and remember it.
Yeah, it starts in right. You go right around. You come back to home plate.
So he's at third in game five.
He is in the outfield in game five.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So he goes out to left.
Yeah, he'll bounce in the outfield now. And I actually, now that you mention, I don't know if it's left, right, or right, left, but whatever. The two outfield spots, then you come around the infield backwards. Third, second, first, home. So last night he's at first. Tonight he's at home. Next one he goes to the outfield.
So in game five, what could he possibly screw up out there?
Probably not a lot because replay will fix it.
It all goes to replay.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. So, but the point is, game four is, you know, you can lose a series in game four with a bad call or, a bad ball strike call or anything else. You lose that game. Now game five happens and you shouldn't even have been game five.
We continue with your thoughts on the Red Sox and the Yankees. We do have a Patriots minute coming up for you as well. We'll do it all after Murray's update, so don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What has impressed you about his game thus far this season?
Yeah, pretty much everything. Gets the ball to all of his receivers, quick release, sees things quickly, can extend plays, got a great arm, got a fabulous arm, throw the ball out of the stadium. Makes good decisions, accurate, gets the ball out on time.
Does a quarterback's arm strength ever alter a defense's sense of timing in some way? It seems like some of these throws to the sideline, even the shorter ones, get there pretty quickly.
They do, yeah. Well, no matter where it goes, it gets there pretty quickly. I mean, the further a quarterback can throw it, the more you got to defend. So ball's on their 20-yard line. You still got to defend at the goal line against him, so he can rip it.
Here's your Patriots Minute. Bill Belichick going off on Patrick Mahomes. What do you think this week, Mass?
I think this thing's going to be a shootout. I mean, look, if we're playing handicap game, pick it and stick it. I like the spot for the Patriots. 10 days off at home, Kansas City on the road, you know, TV game. And I think now that they have Edelman back, the Patriots are going to score. Kansas City's defense sucks. So if you held a gun to my head, I'd say it's going to be a shootout. That's what I think you're going to get. To me, the game, that the part of the game that I am interested in most is the Patriots defense versus the Chiefs offense. You're not going to get a tougher test than this year in that league. You know, maybe the Rams, if you see them in the Super Bowl and you get there. But in terms of weaponry, you know, offensive play calling, the quarterback, the whole nine yards, it feels to me like Kansas City's about as tough a test as you're going to get.
Yeah, 35 points a game. Someone's going to be getting theirs, whether it's Kelce or one of the wide receivers. Maybe it's Hunt. Someone's going to get it. But I'm with Maz. I like the spot. I almost think the praise is a little too much. I don't know. I feel like this is Belichick kind of playing possum a little bit. Anytime you hear him praise a player or a team this much, I feel like, I don't know, there's a comfort level there. He knows how to plan against them. I don't know. I think this is where they get their comeuppance a little bit. And if you watch this game against Jacksonville on Sunday, at least in the first half, Mahomes kind of took a beating. He was wincing at times. I don't know if it was a groin thing or maybe his ribs or something. He took some shots early in that game. So I don't know if he's going to be completely 100%.
So historically, I love the Patriots in this spot. And this spot being a game where it feels like they could be overmatched. People love the opponent. The opponent's coming flying in.
Here's the new shiny team in the AFC that can overtake the conference.
A lot of hype, you know, and you know, deserved. I'm not saying it's fake hype, but a lot of hype behind that Kansas City team. A lot of hype behind this young quarterback. And when the Patriots are in that spot and they can see him coming from a mile away, historically, that's where you got to take the Patriots real seriously. When they can just, you know, it doesn't happen often, but whenever they get to play the underdog role and the underdog card, they do well with it. Bill really does well in that spot.
So I was just looking quickly. They were 3.5-point favorite, right?
So they're not underdogs. They're not. They're not dogs. They're 3.5-point favorites. So, like, they have to work hard to get into that spot. We sort of have to talk our way into it. But I think this is one of those weeks, 5-0. And here's a guy, as Bill said, can throw the ball out of the stadium.
Can rip it.
Okay? And I'm just like, ooh, I've seen this before. It's usually against Pittsburgh, all that hype on that side, but it's been against other teams as well. And, you know, it's not that the Patriots are perfect or that they don't get tripped up or that they don't have, you know, tough matchups from time to time, but I usually file most of those under the they snuck up on you category. Like when Kansas City beat you last year on opening day. It kind of snuck up on you. Opening day, coming off as another Super Bowl. Well, you weren't expecting it. You didn't know what. It's sort of like they snuck up on you. Or if this were in Kansas City, I'd treat it totally differently.
Sure.
Right? Games at Denver, games at Miami, games at Kansas City. I think Kansas City's on that list. I'd treat totally differently. But you're at home. This team's got a lot of wind behind their sails. The Chiefs I'm talking about, they're getting hyped now. They're getting overhyped. And you've had 10 days to watch them and see them coming. I like the Patriots in that spot.
I mean, look, again, you know, the 3.5, you get 3 for being at home, right? So maybe what the league's telling you is that they think the teams are, or the Vegas is telling you, rather, they think the teams are pretty even. I just think, to me, the big question is, can the Patriots defend Kansas City? And, you know, when you really look at it, Belichick's not going to give the big play in this game. He's going to make the Chiefs go, you know, 12 plays for a touchdown if they get it.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. GTFB, get the hell back. Don't commit on the rush to Mahomes. See if, after 5 weeks of playing pinball and lighting the scoreboard on fire, and big play after big play after big play, let's see if Mahomes and his offensive players have the patience to go 7 yards at a clip and work their way all the way down the field and have a 12-play drive. And Andy Reid will do it, because that's what Andy Reid wants to do. But his talent has gotten so explosive and so talented that, you know, despite Andy Reid's best efforts to run 14 guys in motion and run 7-yard little bootlegs,
they've taken the reins off.
They score because they're so fast and so talented. But does Mahomes have the patience to check down and go 10, 12 plays down the field?
Good question.
That's what I would do if I were the Patriots.
So you know, I'll tell you, watching him the little bit that we have here in the early part of the year, and I watch a lot of the San Francisco game, he strikes me as the kind of guy that does. right?
Bombs.
Yeah, because I think he's not just one of these, you know, guys running around broken plays, chucking it all over the place and making big plays. He's precision passer, too. I mean, he's good all the way around.
Okay.
But if I'm the Patriots, first of all, try to get out in front and then let him run.
Run the ball, hand the ball.
Yeah. No, not Mahomes. Right. Let the Chiefs run the ball. You know, give it a Kareem Hunt all you want. So I get intrigued by the matchups. I'm sorry if this bores you, but Gilmore on Watkins, then I basically some sort of combination zone or double team the other two guys. And if that means I'm light up front and you can run on me, then run all day. I don't care. Because to me, if the Chiefs are in the 20s, they're going to lose. Like, that's how I feel.
Because the other part of the equation is the Chiefs' defense
blows.
Sucks.
And so, again, if you watched last week's game, that was about Blake Bortles turning back into Blake Bortles. He was god-awful in that game. Their defense is wretched.
Okay, so, interesting matchup. We'll start to mix it in this week as we go forward. You want to weigh in on it next? You may. We'll go back to your phones in our long commercial-free segment, which is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, pretty much everything. Gets the ball to all of his receivers. Quick release. Sees things quickly. Can extend plays. Got a great arm. Got a fabulous arm. Throw the ball out of the stadium. Makes good decisions. Accurate. Gets the ball out on time.
Can throw the ball out of the stadium. That's the line that stood out to me. Belichick all too eager to contribute to the hype train. Seen it a lot. So rare you get the Patriots in this spot against a team with more energy and momentum and hype than them. And you get to play, even though you're not underdogs, you get to prepare or pretend that you're the underdog. Or you get to go to your team and say, well, they're talking a lot about, look at this guy. You can throw it out of the stadium. Like, that matters. And I don't mean to, you know, diminish Patrick Mahomes. He seems like the next big thing. He looks legit. It's awesome.
Well, Belichick loves this, right?
But I mean, the Pats don't get this spot very often, and so here's one of them.
Well, because as a coach, right, it's easy to motivate your team for a game like this. Piece of cake. You sit there and go, look at these guys. 35 points a game, quarterbacks running around throwing bullets in the back corner of the end zone like he's playing out in the parking lot. Like, you know, so they think they're going to do that to you. How do you guys feel about that?
You know, and it's great because it's a first-year quarterback where you can do that with Aaron Rodgers in a couple weeks, but he's actually really, really good. Like, you couldn't play that game with Peyton Manning or someone who's actually established, but maybe you get to play the game a little bit with this kid who's five games in. Boy, he can throw the ball out of the stadium. Like, it's sort of like, you know what I mean?
Sure, you bait him.
And this, I think the Patriots have been good in this spot. Real quick, last thought on this. Don't look now, but the standings. It's a cliche to say there's no one else in the AFC, but when you look at the standings, there's no one else in the AFC. There's no one. There's nothing. There's nothing there. The teams that you thought maybe might, like Houston, might be okay this year. They're not. Jacksonville back to 3-2. Look at the standings. There's only two teams that are anything other than 3-1 or 2-3 or 3-2 or 1-4. There's only two teams. This Kansas City team at 5-0 and Cincinnati at 4-1.
Yeah, don't worry about the Bengals.
Don't worry about the Bengals, folks.
Told you they're going to get into the playoffs, though.
It doesn't matter. So what?
Well, I got mocked when I said that, and I'm just patting myself on the back for it.
Who would mock? Cincinnati makes the playoffs all the time.
I remember that's what I was told at the time. But either way, no, I know, you're right. No, there's not a lot of competition.
They still blow. I mean, the fact that the fact they're a playoff team shows you how wretched the AFC is, and that they're a non-factor. They'll be one and done.
I bet you the Bengals go 9-7, but keep going.
Doesn't matter, whatever. All I'm telling you is no one who is supposed to be good is good, except Kansas City. If you lose to Kansas City this week, Kansas City's three games ahead of you in the standings with the first tiebreaker, which effectively means they're four games ahead of you, which means if you meet them again in the playoffs, it's just you and them. Say hello to Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah.
So there's a real implication to this game.
No question. You can't play there in the playoffs. It's going to be brutal. You can't do it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can or you can't, but you don't want to.
Well, that's what I mean.
You don't want to go to Kansas City. You don't want to go to Denver. You don't want to go to Miami. You don't want to go to those places. You played that game a couple of years ago thinking you could just waltz into Denver, and I think, you know, you realized that a home stadium does matter against certain teams.
They exist to choke in the playoffs, though, so I don't look at it as a death sentence like I would Denver. Like, going there is bad news.
No, Denver's higher on the list. but I don't want any part of Kansas City, in Kansas City. So I'm just telling you, standings-wise, they're the only team that's done anything all year. And if you lose, that's three full games plus the head-to-head, which means four. You're, for all intents and purposes, four games behind Kansas City. I don't know if you make that up. So there's also that to consider. All right, back to your phones. On this and all of our stuff with the Red Sox and the Yankees and Brock Holt's fake cycle. In case you're just late to the program, it's a fake cycle. It has an asterisk. You see Murray's whiteboard over there if you're watching NBC Sports Boston simulcast. We've denoted it as such, fake cycle. And it, even if it were real, we don't care. But it is fake as it comes against a backup catcher in the ninth inning in a 16-1 game. So, fake. Jeff and Hampton, your thoughts.
Hey, listen, it's an honor calling into the Karma and Cycle show. And I'd just like to thank you, Mike, for that infinite wisdom that you gave us on that Karma aspect. I think maybe you should come up with a new strategy. Maybe you could hang out in the end zone for the Patriots and maybe, you know, tell the guys, do a little Rodney Dangerfield and maybe tell the guys, hey, don't celebrate too hard. They're gonna blow Karma because Karma really plays into this sports thing, you know?
Maybe you can get a new phone because your phone blows. I don't know. People seem to see when Aaron Judge walked out of the stadium playing New York in New York, I heard a lot of you say, oh, that's sort of messing with it. And it is. So, I don't know. Maybe you just don't like the direction of the take. I don't think you mind the take at all, caller. I think you're just sensitive to the fact that maybe it's a little anti-Red Sox. But that's okay. Put your rattle back in your mouth and get on with your day.
Yeah, listen, the two things. The cycle was fake, and at the end of the game, I thought the Red Sox started, you know, to me, celebrating, you know, it just felt a little too loose. That's all. I would just as soon have them kick the snot out of the Yankees, show up afterward and say, you know, guys, whether we win 3-1 or 16-1, it really doesn't matter. It's 2-1 in the series. We got to get one more. And until we get one more, there's no reason to celebrate. I just wish there was some sort of governor or regulator there that evened them off a little bit. It felt like it got a little too giddy at the end of that game.
We'll see how it plays out. I thought Aaron Judge doing it was bad form for New York. And not that it's like going against any code. I don't care about that. It's like, dude, you just won a game. And the team you're playing against is better than you. And so I'd save the freaking music till you've done something. I'd put away the boombox until you've actually done something, as opposed to just one win in the divisional series. I thought it was bad form from him, too. And then last night, you got guys shaking it at the Yankees last night, waving it at them, you know, again, over one win. I'd say the same thing to you I'd say to them. I wouldn't get ahead of yourself. Brad in Taunton. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I just want to say, you guys are praising about Aaron Judge having swagger walking out of the stadium playing New York, New York.
Were you just listening? Did I just not get through saying that it was bad form of Aaron Judge to play that on the way out of Fenway Park?
Now you say it's bad.
No, I said it yesterday. I said it all day yesterday, Brad.
You said you wish somebody in the Red Sox had swagger like that.
I did not say that. I did not.
Saturday.
I did not say that.
He gives a little Mookie Betts shake, and you guys getting all over him for breaking the game wide open.
I did not say that thing you said about Aaron Judge. I did not say that. The second I saw it with Aaron Judge, I said, uh-oh. I'd be careful with that, dude. I wouldn't do that. You haven't done anything yet. I said no such thing. You're projecting. Because you think we would say that, but I didn't.
And I like the meat spin, as Murray called it. I like it.
I didn't make that up. The internet made that up.
Okay, I prefer to think of it as the windmill myself. But nonetheless, whatever. I like it.
But now I'm enjoying this. Baby Red Sox fans. Fake cycle. Fake. Fake. With an asterisk on it. Fake. Look at his whiteboard.
Right. Once it's on the whiteboard, it's there.
Fake.
Can't argue it.
Oh, no, that's etched in stone. That's like acids burned in with acid.
Derek in Foxborough. Hi, Derek.
I think what you guys aren't understanding is the hardest part of the cycle isn't the home run. It's the triple. And the triple came off of a legit MLB pitcher, so therefore it's a real cycle.
Oh, God.
And
no,
I don't know
it isn't.
Why there's so much Brock Holt hate here.
Derek.
You know.
Derek, what? If he got the single off of Austin Romine, I'd say it's a fake cycle.
It's fake.
He hit it off a catcher. The only way it would have been worse is if it was some player's father who was sitting there to get out and pitch, like it was the home run derby. Fake. He hit it off a catcher.
I think you're just hating on Brock Holt because you don't like him. This guy's an all-star. He's a gamer.
Oh, my God.
It's Brocktober. It's time to get
it's
on board.
Brocktober, baby.
If you can say that without getting douche chills, then I don't know.
No, I got them.
You can't be helped.
I got a little shiver. Let's say the cycle was real, which it's not.
I still wouldn't give a rat's ass.
Let's say it was real, Maz. How would you feel about
it? I still wouldn't give a rat's ass. Again, now if the home run was the final hit that won the game or something of the like, great. Then terrific. I'm still celebrating the game-winning hit more than I am the cycle. I couldn't give two flying fish about the cycle. Seriously. And the fact that it was Austin Romine in the last inning, are you kidding me with that? Like, the cycle is what we're going to celebrate. And I told you, in and of itself, see, people are misinterpreting this. The achievement, I don't care about. I don't care about it in the regular season. I don't care about it in the playoffs. The individual achievement. So, fine, whatever. And the fact that Holt went up there trying to hit a home run, I don't care about that either. Fine, whatever, have a blast. Just don't sit there and talk about it after the game like it was the only thing that mattered. Like, it's the type of thing you heard about. You hear him talking and you're going,
no, it's Roy Hobbs.
Oh my God, shut your pie hole already.
No. That was Don Drysdale in a perfect game in the World Series, whatever the guy's name was.
Don Larson,
whatever.
I know who you meant.
You know who I meant.
Yeah.
Instead, what you get is, in a 10-0 game, Brock Holt on third base in front of 50,000 of them and the entire Yankees team waving it at him.
You spin me right around, baby, right.
Windmill.
You still got another game to play. You still got games to win. And they're out there waving it at him. I'd say the same thing to them I said to Aaron Judge. I'd keep it in your pantalones till you've actually done something.
Seriously, he unbuttoned and gave me the Whitney Houston. Woo!
Never mind a fake cycle in a 16-1 game. Good Lord. We're back with more after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Woo!
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.